Guys, of course, you know we're in the Gospel of Mark. I'm still following the path of Jesus. Just constantly learning about Jesus and how he interacted with the generation of that day in the flesh.
All right.
Man, I wish Jesus was here in the flesh right now. How would we respond?
Yeah.
You know, we have our thoughts and ideas of what Jesus is supposed to be like. But clearly, Mark is showing us that those who had their ideas of what Jesus was supposed to look like in their day is not lining up with who Jesus is.
Right.
Man, you know, it's like, wow, we just envision so much. Kind of like Julius said, like, this is how it should be going. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to figure out, why is it not going that way? Or why are they not doing it that way? But I love the fact that God lets us get a glimpse into Jesus in human form walking earth. And I love the fact that we get it from several perspectives. Not only just from Mark's perspective, where he gets his information from Peter, but you get it from a tax collector named Matthew in the Gospel of Matthew. And you get it from Luke, who's a doctor. And then you get it from John, somebody who walked with Jesus. All these different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And they are for a reason. Because God knew that some of us just wouldn't get it from Mark's perspective. Mm-hmm. Some of us were more in line with the doctor's perspective. Mm-hmm. Or more in line with Matthew, the tax collector perspective. Or maybe John, somebody who actually walked with Jesus, you know. But I love the fact that God is always thinking ahead of his creation, knowing like, hey, this is how I'm going to be able to meet their needs. And helping them to connect with me. So guys, we're going to be over in Mark chapter 2, around verse 18. And some interesting things are happening. Jesus has been busy. We've learned that Jesus has been healing people. He's been teaching people. He's been preaching the gospel. We learned that Jesus went to a party with Matthew, who was the Levi, for the descendants of the Levites, had a party at his house. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees looking like, this is not lining up. What we've been waiting for? Why are you sitting with them sinners over there and eating their food and being served? You know, they're like, wait a minute, something is amiss here. Yet Jesus is like, no, these are the people that need me.
Right.
The very people that you reject because you have such rigid rules and rigid regulations and rigid ways to live by. And so picking up in verse 18, as we're moving along here, of course, more questions come up. You know, those questions all started when Jesus healed that guy who got lowered through the roof from his four friends. Why is he doing this on the Sabbath? Why is he eating with these sinners? Questions are just slowly coming and bombarding. Why is he acting this way? Mm-hmm. This is not the Jesus I was looking for. This is not the Jesus I've conjured up in my mind of who he should be like. Why is he doing this? And so we pick up in verse 18. And it says, now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? Wow, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. So let's understand what fasting is. You know, I mean, we've fasted in this church. We fasted from a lot of things. Yep. Some fasts are significant to us. Mm-hmm. Some of us have some great challenging when it comes to us. Just some great things that challenges when it comes to fasting. Now, Gloria always sticking out in my mind because that's a struggle of mine too, but she always talks about chocolate. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, you know, sometimes you get a craving for chocolate, you know. I hadn't had no chocolate Oreos in a while, but they've been pretty good lately. I said, God, these Oreos are good for a reason. Let me pick up some. I got not with the white cream, with the chocolate. They were like, these are so good.
Right.
Penny, my daughter, thought the same thing, so she took them to her room. Like, where's my cookies at, man? Where's my cookies at? But fasting, you know, you're being challenged to let go of something.
Right.
To give up something. Mm-hmm. That's really going to challenge you to say, is God more important to me? Or are these Oreos more important?
Well,
what is it for you in your life? Because it is something. And one thing I looked at when I talked about fast, I said, well, let's understand what fasting is. Well, it says the purpose of fasting is to develop spiritual strength. Wow. To show your need for God. To enhance your prayer life. I would think that you would do a lot more prayer when you're fasting. Because especially when you're fasting from food, the cravings are going to kick in. Man, every food that you never even thought of, all of a sudden, man, you know what? The McDonald's fries sure taste good. He ain't McDonald's fries in a long time. You start thinking of places that you've not been. You're like, God, I sure would go for that. Prayer. There'd be a lot of prayer during fasting. What is the purpose of fasting? To release God's supernatural power in your life.
Yeah.
Depending on God. Trusting in God. What is fasting? We talked about what is the purpose of fasting, but what is fasting? Fasting is a spiritual discipline that is taught in the Bible. I'm going to read a scripture to you real quick. You don't have to turn there, but over in Matthew 6, I'm going to put the verse here. In verse 16, it says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your face and wash your face, so that it would not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." You know, fasting, sometimes we fast for the wrong reasons. We fast to be seen. And that's why I want people to say, yeah, I'm fasting. You just like, you want to announce it to the world. Now, that's the difference between sharing people like, well, no, I can't see them because I'm fasting right now. And there's a difference between going on about, hey, I'm fasting. I'm right with the Lord. Hey, I'm fasting. I'm doing what's good with the Lord. I'm fasting. God says you're missing the whole point. Fasting is between you and God.
Right.
Now, if we fast as a church, as a congregation, guess what? It's between us and God.
Yep.
But it's not something you go around boasting about. And I love the fact that God says, you know, talking about fasting as a spiritual discipline, he said, put some lotion on your ashy skin, okay, people that got to know that you do. You know, he said, look like you're supposed to look. Don't look all depraved and like, oh, I can barely make it, oh, I can barely do this. That's a discipline. It's a spiritual discipline that is taught. And so here it is, these guys are asking this question. And I love Jesus' response to them about fasting. In verse 19, Jesus says, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. And on that day, they will fast." You know, today we're talking about something new. God is always introducing something new in our life. In this passage, he's introducing something new. He said, "How is this new?" Well, there's some people watching and they said, we see John's disciples are fasting. And we see the Pharisee disciples are fasting. So why are your disciples not fasting? But why would they fast when God is there? You ever thought about that? It's kind of like going to a wedding. And I've had the privilege of doing several weddings. And all of us have been to a wedding. Can you imagine going to a wedding? And you're there with the bridegroom. And you're there with his bride. And you know, we all look forward to the reception, don't we? Yeah. You're like, man, to the reception, there's what? A lot of food. A lot of festival. There's a lot of partying. And can you imagine, you get there and you get to the reception. You're sitting down. And all there is a glass of ice water on the table. And you're wondering, where's the food? Where's the food? And the bridegroom stands up and say, well, we're fasting. We decided to take our $10,000 and go on our honeymoon and spend it that way. So, we just wanted you here. It wouldn't make sense, would it? No, we're celebrating a feast. Jesus is saying, I'm here. There's no reason to be fasting. This is a time of celebration. Because I am here in the flesh. I'm the one you've been waiting for. This is a time of celebration. And he gives them an analogy about a wedding, because they all know during that time, it's what? Israel is married to who? God. He knew that they could understand this. Also, they had plenty of wedding banquets back then. Of course, where Matthew elaborates on it even more in the gospel about, man, you know, like, wine was an important thing at their wedding that they celebrated. Jesus wanted them to understand this. You see, fasting was not meant for public display. Fasting is meant to be between you and God, or the church and God. You know, but never to promote a self-righteous image. Now, the people knew that John's disciple, the Pharisee disciples, fasted on a regular basis, but they didn't understand what for or why are we fasting. But Jesus wanted them to understand when the need for fasting would need to happen, and that would be after he was no longer there in human flesh. Mm-hmm. That would be the time for fasting. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to have somebody there where you can touch them and they're near you. That's so important. But when they're not there, you're missing them. And you're trying to find a way to connect with them. For us, we have the phone. For us, we have Zoom. For us, we have email and all that stuff. But with Jesus, not only is it prayer, but it's going to be fasting.
Yep.
We need to fast because we need his supernatural power and his strength to help us through this. He wanted them to get this. You know, when God is with you in the flesh, there is no need for fasting. Like them, we miss seeing God because of our lack of understanding. I think earlier we talked about critical minds or trying to understand. Sometimes we get caught up in the wrong things. But you know, Jesus makes it clear that he is not John the Baptist. He is not the Pharisees, but the one they have been waiting for.
Ain't that something?
But they missed that. In the Gospel of John, in the first part of it, John even announces, he says, here's the one that I've been talking about, whose sandals I am not worthy to tie. He points it out to his disciples. This is the one we've been waiting for.
Yep.
But clearly here, they weren't listening. You know, this way that sometimes we don't listen, we miss it. And they're not listening that John told you that this was the guy. But they're not getting it. And during this time, when Mark apparently was writing this, John was in prison by now, but his disciples are not getting it. Now, if you got it, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, and I think John was there, they got it, but all some of the other ones, they did not get it. It says, for the Messiah, it says, when we are in the bridegroom, we will celebrate and rejoice.
That's right.
That's what's going to be like when we get to heaven. You're going to get to heaven talking about why we're not fasting. You're going to be with Jesus there. Fasting is going to be the last thing on my mind.
Right.
The least thing on my mind. Well, fasting. I'm in heaven, I'm with Jesus. It's going to be a time of celebration and rejoicing. Right. They weren't getting right here. Guess what? Jesus was here in the flesh, and they couldn't understand. And they were missing out on celebrating and rejoicing with him. But isn't it amazing that Levi got it? The tax collector got it? Mm-hmm. Why did he get it? Because he was an outcast to his people. He got it. You know, John's disciple missed seeing God in the flesh. You know, the Pharisees, they missed, the Pharisees and the disciples, are saying both of them really missed seeing God in the flesh because of their poor training. Their disciples were only going by how they were trained. And they missed seeing God. John's disciples missed seeing God in the flesh because of their allegiance to John versus to the one who John told them that, hey, this is the guy who I told you about was coming after me.
Mm-hmm.
Are you missing seeing God because of your obstruct view or beliefs that you may have what God should be like, how God should act, or what God should do? You know, the Pharisees were leading the disciples in the wrong direction, mm-hmm. causing them to miss their opportunity to see God. How long will you allow someone to lead you away from God? Every day somebody's trying to lead you away. They're trying to pull you in a different direction. They're trying to pull you somewhere else so that you won't see God, the very one that you are hungering for, that you desire to draw closer to. How long will you follow the ungodly? We do some time. You know, we entertain. We follow people who are ungodly, not right. But the longer you follow them, the farther away you get from God. If you want to see something new, which what Jesus was introducing to them to them during this day, and they didn't get it, mm-hmm. you have to open your heart, you have to open your mind, and you have to open your soul up to what God is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
They say a closed mouth don't get fed, but I'm here to tell you a closed soul don't get fed.
That's right.
Wow,
that's right.
Yeah, that's true.
It does not. If you want to see something new that God is doing, you're going to have to open up. If you refuse to open up, then what God is doing new will pass you by. God would always use something relatable in your generation or time to connect the dots to him. For these guys, he talked about a wedding. He says, hey, the bridegroom is here. The bride's here and the groom's here. What are we fasting about? It's more important to celebrate than to abstain. What is God using in your generation to connect the dots for you to him? Picking up verse 21 as we go down close, it says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. He says, and no one pours new wine into an old wine skin or wine sack. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wine skin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into a new wine skin.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know what Jesus is saying here? Jesus said, you cannot put him, this new life, into an old form. Mm-hmm. And these guys were stuck. Religious, if you're very religious, and you're stuck in the old ways, the way things are supposed to have been done, and you're trying to fit Jesus into that box or that bottle, it's not going to work.
Right.
It's not going to work. God said, I'm doing something new. Stop trying to fit into the old mold, the old form. It's not going to work. This is what you've been waiting for. Now the new is coming. And so we're going to build something new with new things, new parts. We're going to build something new. We're not going to nullify the old, but we're going to build something new. Sometimes it's hard for us to let go of the old things. Moving, one of the greatest horrors in life.
Yes.
There need to be more writing about it. One of the greatest horrors in life. You just never realize how much stuff you have.
Right.
And here's the craziness of it. You're moving somewhere new. This is a new beginning, a new start. Everything's new. But what is the habit of us? Old stuff, we're going to fit the old stuff into the new stuff. And we're like, this is crazy. Just throw it away. And for some reason, we have this compulsion in us that we're like, yeah, I'm going to throw it away. But like, when you get it, you're like, you don't want to let it go. It's like, let that thing go, man. Throw it away. It has no place in the new place. It doesn't.
Amen.
I remember going back by seeing my neighbors. I threw a lot of stuff on the side of the curb. And one of my neighbors said, man, they went through that stuff like rats. They were going through that stuff. And I thought, what are you going to do with that stuff? He said, man, they're taking all that stuff to their place. Jesus is like, the old and the new are not going to work.
Amen.
We need to be people like we're ready for the new. We're going to embrace the new. And we're going to live a new life. We're going to shed our old life, get rid of our old form, and we're going to let God build a new form in us so that we can have a new beginning and a new start.
Right, right.
But here's the question. Are you willing to accept the new changes that God wants to bring in your life? Change is hard. Some changes we're ready for, some changes we don't like. Moving is a hard change, especially if you stay in a place a long time. It's hard.
Yeah.
Change is challenging. But God wants to do something new with you. Are you willing to let go of the old to embrace the new? That is so key. Are you willing to let go of the old to embrace the new?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say we want to let go of the old stuff, but it's another thing when you're actually put to the test and you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to do it. That's hard. We've all had great conversations. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get rid of this. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be done with this. But God said, okay, well, let's make the rubber meet the road. And all of a sudden, this is hard.
Yeah.
This is hard. It's challenging. And as you get older, I don't know, maybe some of us younger, we get it, but as you get older, you really begin to understand the trauma and letting things go.
Yep.
The trauma it does to you mentally and emotionally. You really begin to like, this is like really bothering me. Those are times when you need to be fasting and praying. Because it's hard. It's hard. Here's a question. Can God do something new in your life? Or are you stuck and refusing to let God change you? Are you refusing to allow God do something new? Are you stuck? How do we get unstuck? Well, the bridegroom is not here with us currently, so I say every day for us is a good time to fast. Because we need that supernatural strength. We need that supernatural power. Because whereas our flesh will continue to fail us, we're going to need something stronger than us to help us get beyond some things.
Yep.
How do we get beyond being stuck and trying to hold on to the old? Well, we need to pray more. We need to pray intentionally, and we also need to listen and hear what God is telling us, and we need to act on the things that God is pointing out to us. How do we get unstuck and let go of the old? We need to take the first step and move forward, one step and one day at a time, to embrace that something new that God is doing in our lives.
Amen.
Have to do that. Let's stop trying to sew an old patch into a new garment, or trying to sew this new garment into an old patch in our life. Let's stop trying to say, you know what, I think I can still get some good out of this, and I'm going to put all this new stuff in here. Let it go. Let it go. Let's be forward-thinking men and women of God. Let's walk with God the right way by saying everything new that God is showing to us, we're going to embrace it. We're going to take hold of it, and we're going to move forward with Him. God does not desire to leave nobody behind. He has no desire to see anybody left behind. But the only way we get left behind is because we choose not to move forward with God into the new things that He's doing. Let's embrace fasting while we can. Because the day of celebration is coming soon when we get to heaven, and there will be no need for fasting. But let's embrace fasting and all that it does for us, and how it strengthens us and builds us up and makes us stronger. Let's not follow ungodly people in the wrong direction. Let's just not do it. They can be smooth talkers. They can say a lot of great things. They can look a lot of great ways. But they're the wrong people to follow. But let's be example to the ungodly people, to those who are hurting, even if they don't know that they are hurting. And lead them in the right direction. You know, I think about this one person stuck into my mind. In my job, you know, I meet a lot of people. So I was talking to a young lady named, get this name right, Yajara. It's a name. She's 26. Now, I've been doing this business a long time, and I know. And so I was asking her about what was going on and everything. She had an accident, and she said 2 a.m. in the morning. She said, I was coming from a job. And she told me where she worked at, and she says, I am an entertainer. So, really? And she's happy about it, but she doesn't know the difference. And I mean, she's an entertainer. She's an entertainer. And she's at one of them clubs. She's the entertainer. And she's happy and all giddy. She doesn't know no better. And I thought, here's an ungodly person who needs help. But it's going to take some work.
Yeah.
It's going to take some work.
Yeah.
And while I'm doing my business and making sure I'm conducting myself in a manner where the gospel is, trying to talk to everything, she does what she does best, not knowing that the enemy's trying to use her to get my attention. There are ungodly people everywhere, and Satan will attack you on any level. He he can.
Wow.
And you never know. My job, I meet them all. I see them all. This I talk to the phone. I've seen them in person. I've seen them in whatever their best form they want to be, trying to do what they do. But ungodly people need us. And the only way we're going to be able to help them is if we allow God to interject a new life into us.
That's right.
Let's make sure our loyalty is not misplaced. John's disciple, they missed it. They missed it. John said, this is the one I've been telling you about that was coming. You need to follow him. All of them followed. They wanted to know why you're not fasting. How come your people not fasting like God's people? They had not switched their allegiance or their loyalty to Jesus yet. Yet John told them, this is the one you need to be loyal to. Let's make sure our loyalty is not misplaced. I am so grateful for leaders in the church, leaders in the kingdom, all the way from staff down to a Bible talk leader. And they are great, and they are to be respected, and they are to be served, and just really admonished in everything. But they are just that. They are God's servant. Don't be so loyal to one individual where you misplace your allegiance to them and you raise them above God in your life. Don't do that. God has appointed me and other leaders for a certain reason. We're just here to serve.
That's right.
That's what we do. Let's make sure our loyalty is not misplaced. Finally, let's accept the new things that God is doing in our lives. Question. I want you to ask yourself, what has God been doing new in your life? What is something new that God has been showing you and you've been ignoring? What is something new that God has been saying, hey, you need to be with this or be involved in this, and you've been rejecting it? Let's accept the new things that God is doing in our lives. Let's not be like John's disciples who have yet to take hold and follow Jesus. Let's not be like the Pharisees and their disciples who, this is the guy they've been waiting for all their life, but they're missing it because they're so religious. So religious. But they're more loyal to the word than it is to the person who the word came through. Let's not be the people who are looking and trying to understand why you do this or why you do that. But instead, let's rejoice. Let's celebrate. Let's embrace fasting in our life, personally and as a church. Let's prepare for the day when we get to be in heaven, and when the bride, which is the church, and the groom is Jesus, we are together, and we get to celebrate endlessly forever and ever. And finally, let's just stop trying to mix the old with the new. And let's just embrace the new things that God is doing in our life and move forward on to victory. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.